Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of our Vitrons Logistics podcast. My name is Robert Weber, and it's a pleasure to talk to Fabian Rösel. Fabian, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Robert. Thanks for having me. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Fabian. We want to talk about Vitrons corporate culture and how it is changing. But before we do this, please introduce yourself briefly to the listeners.
Briefly. My name, Fabian Rösel. I'm with Vitron now for about 4 years. Started in a...
So a newbie.
Yeah, for Vitron...
Compared to other guests.
It's a newbie. But had to adapt and had to learn quickly, had the chance to learn quickly. I'm starting in a technical role in HR and then moving over to a team lead and now finally for 2 years into the global lead for HR topics for the group.
But that's interesting. You started in a technical position, right?
Right. For an HR professional, quite an interesting CV, I would say.
I like that.
So a degree in technical IT, but always in the profession of HR. And I think that's sometimes what HR is missing. The people skills are there, but the how to best use them, that's most often the problem.
That's very interesting because I had an interview with Dr. Jens Ottnert. He's responsible for the whole training at Trumpf. He was also the lead of AI technology, AI development at Trumpf, and now he is in the human resource office. So quite interesting that positions, careers are changing when it comes to new generation, I think.
New generation and maybe new challenges in work and in economics. So I think the world is changing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. The world is changing. What has changed at Vitrons? Please share some facts and figure with us when it comes to culture, corporate culture, and your employees.
Where does corporate culture start and where does it end? I pulled a few numbers in preparation of this podcast. Just two random years, 2014 and 2024. 2014, Vitron was already a big company with 2,200 employees. The big difference is the growth and the diversity that has been added to that. So back then, these employees were recruited from 36 nations.
36 nations, wow.
36 okay. nations. And now in 2024, Vitron has 7,340 employees roundabout. In the meantime, that's already more. But
back what a growth. What a growth. Wow.
Within 10 years.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
You imagine the growth in diversity even. So from the 36 nations in 24, we grew to 109 nationalities.
Wow.
And that's even more important for corporate culture than the absolute number of employees.
Absolutely.
So it's pulling people from different cultures, different brandings, different educational systems. And that adds a lot of diversity.
How do you handle that, Fabian? What is your role?
What's my role? I think nothing more than a facilitator. Can HR, can central management handle that diversity? I think not. Okay. That goes back to the people in place, to the people on the ground, to the leaders on the ground. So every team leader, every department leader, every project leader has to lead these people and has to give them the chance to get into the corporate culture and to make the corporate culture grow as well.
But I think Vitron has a very special philosophy, a very special corporate culture. How does it change? And is the philosophy the culture enriched now? Can you describe, maybe looking back in the past and then now present and maybe also future outlook?
Is corporate culture growing? Yes. Or is corporate culture growing through that diversity? I don't think so. I think corporate culture comes from bringing different people with different experience, different brand, different history together. And these people then create culture. There is not one culture, but we have a strong aspect in our corporate culture, which is this long, stable brand of this Upper Palatine values. Mm-hmm. These values, they are deeply rooted in many of our employees. Many of them are also selected for these roots and for these values. So these are the fixed points in all the interactions. But nonetheless, everyone learns for him or herself. So corporate culture isn't learning or isn't growing, but everyone for themselves is growing. And that's a fascinating process. And that's a really enlightening process sometimes.
What had you to learn in your role, Fabian?
Is it okay to say a lot?
Yeah, sure.
No, it's really a lot. Coming from a German-only company, not that much nationalities in it. Insurance, which is quite stable and quite conservative, into a multinational company with that much different people. The most important learning, I think, is to see the point everyone is having. So there is no reality for itself. It always is just how you look at it. And every nation, every history, every branding, every education has a different perspective on reality. And most of them are not 100% true and not 100% wrong, but truth is in the middle of that. And I think that was my biggest learning, to give every perspective a chance and to pick the best out of it.
Now it's breakfast. We can have breakfast now. But what has Vitron had to learn as an organization? Because you mentioned different levels of education. That's complicated for a whole organization, right?
Absolutely. Having the different cultures pulling in different directions. If you share a problem, everyone is trying to solve it, to do it their way. And that creates tension. That creates tension, and it also creates friction in the solutions. So everything tends to last a little longer. Everything tends to get a little more complicated. And that's definitely not what we want to be. If we go back to the values, Vitron is proud of being Upper Palatine. Why Upper Palatine? Because we are...
For all our international listeners, it's a region in Bavaria.
Fair enough. You don't know that.
Yeah.
And you also don't know that we are not always in Lederhosen.
Really? I thought you were sitting next to the microphone in your fancy Lederhose.
Yeah. No, we don't. We also tend to adjust to Western fashion. So
since when?
Not so long.
Okay.
So let's say the last 40 years.
Okay.
No, but what's Upper Palatine character? What's Upper Palatine? And that's what we are proud of. We are a little proud of our history. And then basically it is, we are also stubborn. So stubborn, straightforward, sometimes both a little too much. We know that. But nonetheless, there are good solutions coming from that. And I think the most central part is this pragmatism. Just to, okay, there is a problem, then let's fix it. Somehow There is no right and no wrong way. It is just to be fixed. And then let's do that.
There's a German saying, it's nicht geschimpft ist auch gelobt, not being scolded is being praised enough. That's a typical, I think, Vitron philosophy, right? Or am I wrong?
Absolutely, you're right. It's this kind of, we just get shit done and ask for the consequences later. And then no one will cheer you for getting something done. That is what is expected. If you make things complicated, that's not the best way, we think, to attack problems. And that refers back to your question, what had Vitron to learn? What were our values changing? If we look at that, that's the origin. That's the baseline. And then different cultures came in. So let's look at our Western neighbors, our French colleagues. They do have a different culture. Not better, not worse, just different. And they had different history behind it. They had different learnings from history. So they also developed a different culture. And having to learn that sometimes having a discussion about a problem is also a good way to approach it. Going in and seeing things from different angles, different perspectives, talking about different approaches and not just starting to run in one direction is a learning for Vitron and will always be a learning because people are, again, changing. It's the people that learn and not the company itself. So getting in contact with our French colleagues, talking about solutions, problems, and learning that it's not always the let's get shit done approach that works. It's sometimes also the, okay, how to get that done best.
But Fabian, there's also a serious background to this because you lack co-workers, right? So that's your main topic, I think. And how do you get an Australian, for example, excited about Vitron?
Yes, we are lacking co-workers. If you talk from the perspective of our customers, they would like to get us to work faster. But our intention is to support the customers, but not lose our core. So we can only do as much projects as we can. And we can only support as much tasks as our colleagues are capable of. So yes, it is the big topic to get enough people to work for Vitron. On the same time, it's always what you expect. So we are not daring for new people. We welcome them if they are a match. Different topic is when we create an on-site team. If we start a new on-site, if we especially start into a new country, as you mentioned, Australia, getting there, a completely new market again, a culture we don't know, people we don't know, and people with work attitude we are not prepared for. We don't know how to get that done. And then back to your corporate culture topic, how to transport our culture into that new market, into that new country. So how can we get this pragmatism, this proudness, and sometimes this stubbornness into a new country?
Mm-hmm. And how do you do that?
Through people. So there is no paper that can do that. There is no education program that can do that. We use people. People as ambassadors, people as facilitators. For this project, we were lucky enough to get huge project team over there, recruited from our different nations, from our experienced teams, getting that site up and running. The first one in Brisbane, the second one in Sydney. Had people from seven nations going there for Vitron, sharing their experience with the company, sharing their experience with the cooperation with the new starters, and educating them. And then we had even a colleague taking over the responsibility of the full build-up and of the full company in Australia with Mike Evans, who came from the US, had a quick rebrand in Parkstein itself. So got brainwash in Parkstein again, and then moved on into Australia to build that company up That's correct.
So you train own ambassadors, right?
Well, we try to train, but it's not train, it's influence. So going, having him here, having him taking part on the not only company culture, also on the regional culture, and soaking that up and then delivering it into the work.
You handle also a very special project I want to talk about. It's in Niger. It's in Africa. What are you doing there?
Maybe we are a little desperate for good people. Yeah, you're right. So that's both. It's trying to get people and trying to get back to our founders' values. If you do good, then do good. So trying to share a little the economical, financial success we have where it might be needed. So what do we do in Niger? Our biggest need of people is in commissioning, is in international travels with the profession of electronics or IT.
On PLC and programming, stuff like that.
Correct. So basically, every company is looking for these profiles. Everyone is daring to get them. And we even ask them to travel internationally in project cycles, which makes it more difficult to attract people. Fair enough. And we try from Niger to get exactly this profile. There is a highly educated citizenship in Niger. They do get a good technical basic education. And we try to top that with electronics and IT knowledge, which works for our systems. And then trying to give them an employmentship within the Witron world.
So it's a Niger Witron University for PLC.
Yeah, it's for legal reasons. It's not a Witron company. It's a cooperation partner. But yeah, that's the idea, to have a university, have a school educating people and then giving them the chance to earn money in the Western world.
How did the idea come about? Was it your idea or Mr. Winkler's idea?
No, absolutely not. Both not, in fact. The idea originally came from one colleague from Niger who did his way on his own to Witron. And he came up with that idea that that would be a good source. I think that also describes more about the company than anything else. If someone comes and has a good solution, has a good idea, has an innovative idea, we are willing to test it. We are willing to try to work with it. And that was the birth of this idea. He came, that is a project I would love to do. And then we started. And in the meantime, the first colleagues are working.
Internationally?
In the US, yes. That was quite a tough process, especially legally.
Yes.
And immigration, both difficult. And then Niger thought we will make it more complicated even by doing a political coup.
Oh, yeah. I heard that. Yeah.
Creating additional problems. Yeah.
But did you solve the problems till now?
I would say they solved more or less themselves. So, yeah, there was some transition, there was some insecurity, but we just kept going. And in the meantime, immigration is not a problem anymore. And the people are willing. The people do want to get the chance. So that's more or less the most important point. Are the people willing?
How difficult is that to handle in Germany? You mentioned immigration, bureaucratic obstacles. How did you manage that? How much time consumes this all stuff in your daily work?
That question gets quite political, I would say.
Okay.
How difficult is it? We are talking about a lack of professional workers in Germany. Europe, basically, completely, but Germany especially. And then we are afraid to get professional workers into the country. So there are jobs no one wants to do anymore. And on the same time, there are people willing to do it, but we don't allow them to do it. The bureaucracy is quite intense. There are regulations that harm these processes and make them complicated. So you have to really want to employ that person because the whole process takes a lot of energy and resources. We just recently hired one colleague from Southern America who did his education, his university in Europe, in France in particular. He got a permit to have this university in France, but with his degree, he didn't get a permit to work in Europe.
Okay.
How complicated is that?
Yeah.
You can't get the education here for nearly free, by the way, but then you can't work here because that's not a profession with a lack of employees. But if he's the better choice, why should we harm our companies like that? Why should we make it that complicated?
I can't answer these questions, but that's a question for the decision makers, right? And it's also important that you as a company speak about these problems and that they recognize, okay, we need to change something there.
Exactly. I don't have the answer as well, because that's out of my hand as well. But we need to point out where the problem is. And there is a problem, in fact, to get it changed somehow. Otherwise, we can talk about a lack of employees. However much we want, we will not change it.
Fabio, at the end, what are your next tasks, your responsibilities over the next weeks? What do you have to do?
The most important point, and that's maybe the best benefit I can share here as well, we just recently are in preparation of our WGB. So what does WeTron do? We do share some of our revenue with our employees. And right now we are preparing this profit sharing with our employees for the last year. So that's a big task.
They can expect a lot, I think. It was a very good year, I think.
I wouldn't make this expectation that high. There were definitely some challenges within the last years. COVID, we do have a conflict back in Europe. So the world is getting more complicated, but nonetheless, for us, it was successful. But let's not make it skyrocketing.
Okay.
Yeah, off from that, one big topic for us is educating our leaders in accepting these different cultures and in making the teams and the people even grow through that cultures. That's my big topic. And I think that will be an huge topic for next year.
Fabian, we wish you all the best for you, for your company, for your corporate culture and your project in Africa. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. And thanks again for having me.